Notice with me tonight, verse number 11. Verse 11 says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should" what? "Love one another." A message that has been since, he said, the beginning. Some would say since the beginning of the ministry of Christ. Some would say since the beginning of the incarnation. But it's a message that we have seen and do see throughout the New Testament. It's not relegated simply to the New Testament, but certainly a message that comes through loud and clear. We are to have a love one for another. And we find here in this chapter, he speaks of our service. A part of our service is certainly as we love each other. How many like being loved? You like being loved. Amen. By the same token, you like loving. Mm-hmm. Love is a wonderful thing that we can experience with each other. But what we find here is God is going to teach us that it's not always what it ought to be. He says we ought to love one another, not as Cain. Notice verse number 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. So who was he of? All right, he's of the devil, he's of Satan, he's of the wicked one. So his father is the devil. When we think about what the Lord said, that ye are of your father the devil, we learn from that, another scripture, that when we become saved, we're part of the family of God, and so God is our Father. We change families when we were born again. And so we find basically upon the face of the earth two families, that of God, or of the Father, and that of Satan. So who was of the wicked one? And notice what happened. And he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now stop and think about it. What did Cain do with God? What did Cain do? He brought an offering to God. He had a religious observance. But we notice here that his works were what? Evil. God rejected them because they were of that which he had and that which was his pride rather than a blood offering like his brother. And we find in his brother's was righteous. And so we find, as a result of that, Cain up and slays his brother, Abel. And we find that there's a problem, just like in that first family, that has lasted down through the ages. Now, what was the problem that Cain had? I believe we could label it either jealousy or envy. I would probably use the word envy because to me it has a little bit stronger meaning. It is a discontent, an extreme discontent that is excited, according to Webster, by the sight of another's superiority or their success. And it is accompanied with some degree of hatred. So somebody gets along fairly well, and we are envious of that, or we are discontented because they have some blessing. Envy is probably the number one problem between Christians. Envy is a result of our pride. We want what they have. And the Bible teaches in Proverbs 13:10 that only by pride cometh contention. Fightings and quarrels come as a result of pride. Pride is expressed here in the term, or I would use the term, of envy that he had for his brother, and that God had what? Given favor to him. And so what is a problem with you and I? We are to love one another, but far too often we have a jealousy or an envy of one another. Now let's notice something else. In verse number 13, he says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." Now, there's a problem with brethren and the thing of envy, but also he wants us to understand the world is not going to love us. Now, we ought not to be contemptible in our behavior, but because you believe in Jesus Christ, it's not going to excite the world. When you start telling people that you believe in Jesus, They're not going to stand up and applaud and get all excited about it. The most excitement you might hear is, well, I'm sure glad for you. But leave me out of it. It's not that which is popular in this world. So understand, the world will hate us. They do not like anyone who believes and has favor with God. As Abel had favor with God and Cain slew him, you and I, when we have favor with God, we are not loved by the world. However, notice what he says in verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we what? Love the brethren. I have told people, I know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I've had folks say, you cannot know that. Yes, I can know that. And one of the ways that I can know that is stated right here in verse number 14, because I have love for the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth where? In death, which is what? The wages of sin. So you and tonight, though we may have those who hate us, we may have those who are envious of us, understand this. When you love the brethren yourself, it brings to you an assurance of your own salvation. It's an assurance. I thought of this as we sang the song, Blessed Assurance. And it is wonderful to have assurance in the heart. We can read the Scripture. We can know what God says, thus saith the Lord. We can know that the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can say, I believe what it says, but not have assurance in our heart that it's true for us. How many, after you've been saved, you had a few doubts here and there? Yeah, some of you have, some of you are not admitting it. How many have actually, you had a few doubts, so you thought, well, I'm just going to pray, make sure of this. We've done that. Many have done that. We go through those times and we lose assurance. Okay? Why do we lose assurance? Perhaps it has to do with our loving of God's people, as we see from these particular Scriptures. Notice verse number 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 explained to us that when we have hatred in our heart, it's the same thing as a murderous heart. And the Lord looks at us with the same idea that, hey, you are a murderer. You are one who's taken the life of another because of that hatred. Hatred, which is a lack of love, is equated with murder. But notice, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We see these verses, they seem to kind of seesaw back and forth. As God's telling us one side, He's telling us the other side. And in verse number 16, we find a wonderful principle concerning our love for the brethren. That love becomes very sacrificial. And I would say it is a personal sacrifice or a self-sacrifice. Hereby perceive we the love of God. What? Because He laid down His life for us. We can understand that by what He did for us. And then He goes on and He says, we ought to what? Lay down our lives for our brethren. There ought to be a willingness in our hearts to actually die for those whom we love. I heard a preacher, rather well-known preacher, many, many years ago, say this from the pulpit. I heard him say it. He said, I have a list of people in my office, in a drawer of my desk. He says, a list of people, I have written it down, I would die for them. He said, I would, if a bullet was coming, I would step in front of it. Whatever it would be that would bring harm to those individuals, I am willing to take it for them. That is love. I look at people like Paul, who we find saying that he would be willing to die and to go to hell for his people Israel. I have never gotten to that place. I read Moses where he says to God, blot me out. And God says, no, I'll not do that. But Moses is willing to die for his people, for Israel. And by the way, when you stop and think of the Israelites and their often rejection of his authority, that was very, very commendable. But we find he had that kind of love. And God is teaching us that real love is that which is willing to sacrifice our lives one for another. Too often, we're willing to sacrifice our brethren on the altar of gossip or whatever it might be. But here is the love of God that He laid down His life. Notice verse number 17. He takes it onto another level. He says, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Not only is there a sacrifice of self, but there's a willingness to sacrifice of stuff. Of that which we own, we're willing to give it. We're willing to offer it to those who are in need. So love is not something we just speak with our lips. It's shown in our actions. It's shown by what we are, will do in the life of another individual. And so he says in verse 18, my little children, let us not love how? Neither in love in word, neither in tongue, but how? In deed and in truth. So in other words, the Lord wants us to understand it's a sacrifice of ourself, it's a sacrifice of our stuff, it's a sacrifice of our time, it's a sacrifice of our talent, it's a sacrifice of who we are for somebody else. That's love. And we can talk all we want to, but until we're willing to sacrifice, talk is cheap, isn't it? Some folks say, I love God, but they don't give God anything. They don't give Him what's His in a tithe. They don't give Him what is theirs in offering. That's love. Listen, if a parent has love for the children, what do? They're willing to give to help them. I've seen mothers take food out of their mouth to give it to their children. I've seen them sacrifice getting clothes for themselves. They might buy it for their own children. I've seen that over and over in the lives of many of you right here. Willing to sacrifice. I've seen that with grandparents. I've seen that with many different kinds of individuals through the years. That is love. When we're willing to give of ourselves. Now notice we go on in verse number 19. He says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. When we have this kind of love, there comes an assurance within the heart. When we have a love that is willing to give of itself to those about us, it brings an assurance into our hearts of who we are in Christ. It's an assurance. It's, I know. I have that down inside of me. But notice something else. Verse number 20. If there's a verse that spoke to my heart, it's this verse right here. But he says, for if our heart condemn us. I look at my life and I think to myself, there are people this is not true in my life for. I'm afraid that I would not be willing to give up stuff for certain individuals. I'm afraid I wouldn't lay down my life for certain individuals. For if our heart condemn us, notice what it says, God is what? Greater than our heart. Assurance comes from God when we have these things operative, but when they're not, God is even greater than that. and can help us overcome those things. And He knows all things, and God is the one we can bring that to, and God can help us overcome those lacks in our life. So that verse really spoke to me. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So you and I, we are now in this position. We're in this position where we have come to the spot where we have sacrificial love in our heart for those round about us. And God says, because of that, we have a confidence toward God. All of a sudden, we are in position now to begin to come to God and to ask Him for things and know that God will hear us and answer. Why? Because we have a heart that's willing to sacrifice for another. You know what we've got? We've got ourselves in a position where we're going to be praying not for self and our benefit, but it's really for the benefit through us to others. We've gotten ourselves in a position where we're now more like God. And so He says in verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and those things that are pleasing in His sight. What's His command? His greatest command? Love God and to love others. We're keeping these things. And when we ask, we have an assurance down inside, God is going to answer. Let me give you a little story. I wish I could say this was true in so many cases, but it's not. Our neighbor next door that lived in the house, the youngest son, his name was Danny. Through the course of years, I honestly hated the way Danny was. He was lazy. He was braggadocious about all the accomplishments, which I think was welfare checks. But that's the kind of guy he was. But somehow, I loved this guy. I didn't love the way he was, but I cared about him. I prayed for him. I asked God to save his soul. And whenever I prayed that, I had the confidence down inside God was answering my prayer. He said, we got saved? No. But I had the confidence that God was working in his heart. You see, God will not make anybody say yes. But what was remarkable in the last 2 or 3 years of his life was the many different individuals that he came into contact with and the different questions he asked me. And after 25 or better years of living next door to this church, he announced to me one day, I'm going to come to church. God worked in his heart. God brought things about. And I had that confidence. I wish I could say that with so many others. But I saw that take place. Whatsoever we ask, we receive. When we really love people, God hears our prayers. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I think we recognize that love for brethren is that which comes automatically with our love for God. It comes automatically as we are dwelling in the Spirit of God. If I'm dwelling in the Spirit, I mean, we're allowing Him to completely control and to work in us. Does the Spirit of God hate anybody? No, He's the love. And when He has complete control of my life, then that love emulates not only to God, but to those round about us. Our problem again is that we get fleshly. Our problem again is that we become envious of others because we have this old flesh nature. And it becomes the enemy that destroys our relationships. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to operate in a new realm. And it's a realm of sacrifice of self, sacrifice of stuff, a sacrifice of whatever we are as we give ourselves unto others. All I can say is, may God help me to do that in my life. May God help us to do that, to truly love each other. Amen. It's an old message. It's something we've seen many, many times. We've seen it already several times in the book of 1 John. And yet it's so pregnant with meaning that we understand how we need to operate. Amen? To love each other. Not by just words, but by our actions as well. By showing it. In this room tonight, I guarantee you, there are several individuals who are very lonely and don't feel very much love. I don't care what room full of people it is. I believe I can safely say that's the truth. And we get so interested in ourselves that we take very little time to seek that out. And to seek to give ourselves to others. And to let them know that they love us. Or that we love them. I better say this right, Henry. They need to experience it, not just hear it. Dee, you're going to be flabbergasted at what I'm going to say. A shortcut to showing it is called a hug. H-U-G. I know you do. We just show it. Amen? I can just see this now after service. It'll be a bunch of hugging. But seriously, we need to show our love. Let folks see it, you know, by our actions. Amen?